Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Charity Charge Show. This past week has been unbelievable. As we're battling COVID-19 at Charity Charge, I've just been trying to race through my mind of everything that we can do here, step up to the plate. One of those things, I'm trying to bring everyone as relevant as possible, podcasts, just thinking about the situation at large. Obviously, a lot of people obviously are going to be affected and already affected from just health, wellness. You know, it's unbelievable when you think about people on the front line at the hospitals and people getting sick. I also think a lot about what's going on in general and how the nonprofit community is really. If you're unfamiliar with what we're talking about, you can imagine with all the events, fundraising galas, things of that sort, nonprofits count on that revenue. It's baked into a lot of their just their cash flow assumptions, things to keep the lights on, to provide the critical services that nonprofits provide in our communities. And just trying to get a pulse as we do this podcast series with what's going on around the country, different people in my network. If you are involved in a nonprofit or know leaders that are, I'd love to have them on as guests. You can reach out to me directly. I spell Stephen@charitycharge.com. That's with a PH. So Stephen at charitycharge.com. We're just going to roll into right now. On the line, I have Jai Turk, who is the founder of Solved and also board member at YNPN Austin, which is Young Nonprofits Professional Network. And we're going to get into the interview in a second here, but one of the things that came top of mind, I was thinking, I'm 33 myself. I was starting to think of, you know, what's racing through the minds of young professionals that are either working at nonprofits as you know, staff members and or are the founder. And so I thought Jai could bring a fresh perspective as a young nonprofit leader, again, the founder of Solved, a nonprofit, and then also on the board at YNPN Austin. We were talking earlier this week and he's got his mind wrapped around a bit of the pulse of just what's going on. So without further ado, Jai, thank you so much for making time to be on the podcast.
Man, thank you for having me and for holding the space for everyone.
For sure. So let's just kick it off. Tell me, can you just give a brief background of YNPN just in general? And then I want to ask you some questions of what you're kind of learning there.
Sure. YNPN is a national network and it serves to provide development or growth opportunities for young professionals, particularly the nonprofit field. The Austin chapter here is a membership-based chapter. We charge a small fee for college students and a slightly larger fee for people actually in the field. And then we charge a small organization fee for organizations that hold a lot of young professionals so they can come to our events and either develop some skill sets or just network and get into the community. We have a large board so that people can gain firsthand knowledge what it's like to be on a nonprofit board and sort of the governance side of things as well.
Thank you for sharing that. With that being said, I know we were talking earlier this week and you were talking about a lot of chatter, just what's going on? What are people talking about? What are people concerned about? Any just perspectives that come top of mind as this kind of, it feels like everything's changed so suddenly.
I think being in community is was at the top of mind for most people by Friday. You know, we tried a lot of online happy hours, a lot of online chats. But what ended up happening was most people were burned out from using their computer so much all week. And a lot of people were burned out from really ineffective meetings all week happening remotely. So the temperature kind of changed from Monday to Friday already. So I'd say the overall feeling is a lot of uncertainty, especially for nonprofit professionals. Kind of like you were saying earlier, a lot of people don't know where the funding is going to come from. A lot of people don't know how they're going to remain in service. So I'd assume that job scares will be the next sort of scare that's going to come around. Especially with a lot of our like AmeriCorps members or really junior members at nonprofits or the service, you know, people on the service level at nonprofits. There's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of sort of loss of community and a lot of looking for how do we kind of keep that going.
And have you seen anything interesting in terms of proactive measures being taken? I think everyone's trying to search for solutions. I think sometimes, though, in this, it's hard to have that. But anything like new or unique being introduced as part of just this whole situation?
I can't honestly can't say I found anything unique yet. I'm on the search myself. I think a lot of people are coming to grasp this is not going to be a short-term fix. And as weird as that sounds, I think that kind of has been putting people at ease, that it's a problem that we're kind of all going through and that we'll have to learn from.
Yes. Yes, definitely. And I think that, you know, as I've thought about, you know, I believe just my personality, I'm kind of a fixer. In other words, I like to fix problems. I like to solve problems. And I think right now everybody's racing for that, a lot of people, but sometimes right now we just kind of got to take stock, educate, try to figure out what those could be. But I also just say a message out to everyone that don't feel like the weight of the world's on your shoulders. We all want to rise to the occasion, but in time we will find solutions. I think that's always been what has been great about just humanity in general. And just because it's been 5 days and you haven't found some sort of fix or solution, it doesn't mean that it's not out there. So I think what you guys can keep doing at YNPN is creating your sense of community that you have amongst, you know, all these different professionals that work at various different nonprofits. Because out of that, as we collaborate together, something's going to come of this. That's my, I guess, enduring optimism in times like these.
I'm with you there myself.
Tell me, what is your sense, obviously thinking about directly your organization at Solved, how were in this changing kind of world we live in that's becoming much more social distancing and remote, how are you already adapting to this and how are you now? And tell people, obviously, about the mission of Solved, please.
The mission of Solved is to reconnect the disconnected. We started out really focusing on students last year. And I was doing in-home tutoring services, right? And quickly we learned that parents need some of the exact same skills that the students do, and they don't need the skill set. They need a lot of awareness about really relevant and current opportunities and needs for their kids. So kind of fast forward to now, that model is completely busted. There is no at-home visiting, likely for a while, right? And so a lot of the students we were serving already had financial gaps to be filled. So in terms of lack of technology, lack of exposure to how to use that technology, or parents really having adequate training on technology to be able to communicate. Let's say we did switch all to online right now, which I'll get to. Some of the parents we were working with didn't have the infrastructure to be able to sustain that sort of service. So where we're at right now is kind of two parts. One, how do we make our same service work just as well? It's really about an emotional connection with the kid. How do we do that the same way virtually? So what are some tools we can use for that? And that's where I'm at in the research phase right now. What tools can we use? And it's sort of given me a whole new revenue model, trying to see the positive out of it. What will make sense for, you know, parents to kind of spend their resources on, or look for resources to contribute to this sort of service going forward. I think that the remote part, although it's not the greatest circumstance, it is a reality. I think that would eventually have to have been faced. So we're taking that on now. How do we access these parents that already felt disconnected when they're literally disconnected now from the system? And how do we get some of those skills and technology to them if needed to keep supporting their student? You know, the biggest crisis right now, I'd say from Saul's perspective, is the disconnect can be very real for students that maybe have an ARD that isn't finished, an annual review and dismissal of their individual education plan in public schools. Someone that, you know, might have been thinking about college and was working really hard with their high school counselor, and now they don't have access to that person at all or any school resources. So that's where our focus is really going to shift in the next few months, is students that were sort of in the system that was kind of just keeping them up, maybe keeping them afloat while they were in school, but they don't have that right now, and parents don't have those resources. And so that's where our energy is going to be spent in the next coming months, all the way through August, really.
Wow. And so how do you think that, just given this and likely demand, you know, for what you're doing and kind of some of the infrastructure that you have in place, it seems ever more relevant in a time like this. How do you think that the next few months might play out for your organization? I mean, it seems like this is a big opportunity for you to expand your service. What are your thoughts? And obviously, you know, please, like, let's, I think what you're doing is unbelievable. So please tell people how they can learn more about your organization. Please mention your website and such.
Okay. You can find our Facebook page. It's just SOLVED. It'll be offline for about the next 24 to 48 hours. And if I can, I'll just share that with you, Steven, so I can get it back out there. Because sure. Right now I'm revamping some of the recruitment. In the short, let's say school is closed through, you know, through the end of the school year, that puts a lot of teachers with a lot of time to do stuff. And ideally, I can find some of those teachers that are willing to give their time and provide the infrastructure for them to connect with these kids and give support with some of those services I was talking about, helping them finish some of these projects, lifelong projects that they have to finish towards the end of high school, and just help them help some of these students fill in the gaps. Did I answer your question?
Well, it did, but I also was just thinking, like, broadly speaking, what you're doing, I mean, it is so relevant. So have you any thoughts of just expanding more and more, and how would you expand to kind of open up your model to be able to serve more students?
Oh, cool. Yes. So on my whiteboard right now is kind of like people across the younger than 5 all the way up to 18 age group. So think second graders and younger, starting a live virtual story time from a solved tutor. For the 45 minutes or an hour, a parent can kind of sit their kid down and have someone read a live story to them, something that they're probably missing from the elementary school classroom, something I hadn't thought of before. It makes a lot of sense going forward. And in line with that, other virtual services, sort of webinars or something that sort of feels like a classroom, that's appropriate for kids across every grade level so that they can kind of get a sense of community. We have some pretty good tools for sort of creating a virtual community in a small group of maybe 10 or so that would really mimic sort of the classroom experience. So I think, and from a large perspective, keeping a community / sort of classroom feel for kids is going to be really important. And that's something that we hadn't, that's brand new. That's like 24 hours old or so at this point. And I think that's really the, from the top man, that's going to be the big shift.
You know, it's so interesting how innovation can come very quickly when you're put into crazy circumstances. We've been working on a bunch of different projects internally at Charity Charge as well. And candidly, some other things that I've just been putting off that I've wanted to do for a while, whether these are going to be external things and initiatives or just internal, kind of tighten up different operations and processes and things with our technology platforms, stuff of that sort. So this has been kind of an interesting time, I think, this week to reflect. If you're a leader of an organization, nonprofit or business, you know, kind of what you can audit and what are some of the projects that you can do with this quote downtime. So it's really interesting just to hear how you're creating new ways to expand new offerings. That story time, I think, is so interesting.
What did you think when you heard that?
Well, I mean, I think it just is a really relevant thing. I mean, I think there's two ends of the spectrum. I think that one of the things that might be interesting is just getting, you know, I think teachers or even maybe being able to connect potentially with like authors that would do that first, you know, like reading of the book to kids or things of that sort. I think that also, though, there's a sense of humanity that's coming together of families spending more downtime together. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of interesting, but obviously for, let's be candid, for the demographic and the types of people that you're trying to serve that unfortunately may not have that kind of sense of nuclear family at home. I think it's awesome how you're thinking outside the box to be able to provide scalable different programming.
You know, I grew up in New Orleans and hurricane scares will happen a lot. And thinking of like Hurricane Katrina, which is almost similar to this, but on a global scale, that's something my parents would have been missing. You know, my dad would have still been off at work. My mom would have been running her head around dealing with like this government papers. There's so much to deal with as a parent. And so while it'd be great if families could get more time right now, but I think in the next month or two, I know it was like that for my family, a lot of families during Katrina, you just need, you need your kid to be somewhere and for them to kind of like be grounded. So, you know, especially as a mom or as a parent, it helps a lot, you know, it helps a lot. So that's sort of where that, the thinking from that comes from.
Well, it makes so much sense. And that's why I really appreciate you. And I enjoy doing this podcast and just everything, just in my life, personally and professionally with Charity Charge, because you help me stay grounded and understand the real needs that are out there. And on so many levels, even as you think about the doctors and the nurses and physicians assistants and everyone that's, you know, on the front lines of this, and that also will need to be out there providing critical services, the kids are going to be at home, you know? And so you being able to come in and fulfill this gap, I think is great. You know, and I think that there's some simple ways for you just to get started, just even with basic, you know, tools off the shelf. Like, we're doing this over Zoom, so that we're practicing social distancing. Last time I had you in the studio, but, you know, Instagram Live, you know, other tools like that. So I just ask, when you have that link or you have that program set up, please send it our way so we can push that out as well for you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Yeah.
So look, I think that what I'd love to do is kind of wrap up this episode, but let's stay in touch all around, because as you're kind of understanding new learnings and things, let me know. We're building out a resource section on our website for nonprofits that should be live by sometime Monday. And I'll add whatever resources you have also to that section on our site.
Awesome. And I would tell everyone, look for ynpnaustin.org. We're shifting a lot of our events that were canceled, that were in person, to online. And a lot of those will focus on either how to have effective online meetings or how to sustain and create community using virtual tools, which I think is super relevant. Be really low barrier access. So ynpnaustin.org.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jai, for being on this podcast. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Stephen, for having it.